Hey everyone, how are you going? It's Dean here and welcome to Open Source Growth, your number one destination for growing your SaaS business this year with the best, latest and greatest in direct response advertising strategies, digital advertising and a whole lot more. Guys, I hope you've all been well. We are so thrilled to see all of you lovely people tuning in and subscribing to this podcast. It means the world to me. And it's so exciting to see that our numbers are slowly growing. You know, we don't do this for any commercial gains, this podcast. We only create this podcast to help out the people who are really struggling, just like you, getting their business to grow. And more importantly, their online software or software as a service company to grow. You know, you may be in a challenging spot. You may be running thousands of dollars a day on Facebook ads and nothing's converting, or you're under significant pressure from your manager to meet your, you know, booked demo targets or your SQL targets or your CAC targets. You could just be a person who's curious about SaaS marketing and thinking about how you can translate the good stuff that comes from this very unique discipline across to your e-commerce brand or your fish and chip shop. Like, it doesn't really matter, because what we do here isn't just a flash in the pan set of tactics that work. In this podcast, everything we do is timeless. It's based on principles that are proven and principles that are, you know, rooted in both human behavior, and they're just damn simple and easy to implement. So, you know, everything we do here is executable in so many different places and forms. And in today's episode, I want to talk about the five most impactful books that will help you grow your business online, whether or not you're in a SaaS company, or if you're, you know, just a startup trying to figure out your product, or if you're a fish and chip shop you're not too sure on how you're going to delineate yourself from the rest of the competition. And in today's podcast, I know you guys can't see there's no camera here, but what I have created and what I've managed to do is race out to my business library and picked up the five most influential books that I've read over my time when it comes to marketing and sales. And I'm just really going to focus on marketing today, because I think if you have a chance, get through these books, read them and implement them, because there's going to be some massive things that you can take from these books and then literally turn that into additional revenue in your business. So this is all pretty exciting. I do love reading. If anyone knows my story that is listening to the podcast, I used to read about a book a week in marketing, sales, or personal growth, or spirituality. And, you know, it's been a really exhausting last 3 years, and I haven't had a chance to really go deep on reading a whole heap of books recently. So it's good to, you know, blow off the old cobwebs off the covers. So let's get right into it. I think, like, there's no secret here. For me, my number one book when it comes to, you know, figuring out your advertising and getting your marketing to work, there's no other book for me other than Eugene Schwartz's Breakthrough Advertising. Now, you know, Breakthrough Advertising, thanks to Titans Publishing and Brian Kurtz, mad shout out to Brian, they have recently republished this book over the past 5 years, and it's now accessible to the average punter like you and I. Breakthrough Advertising was first published, I think, in the 50s. Let me just quickly double check this. It was first published, not the 1950s, in 1966 by Barbara Schwartz, which was Eugene Schwartz's wife. Now, this book is a juggernaut when it comes to helping out marketers and entrepreneurs and founders get their advertising to work. Because, you know, if you're listening to this, you're somewhat touched and impacted by digital marketing. You've arrived at this podcast because we've either optimized the SEO on this podcast page, alternatively, you've landed on our website, which is SEO optimized, or we've driven traffic to the website, you've seen one of our Facebook ads, and now you're listening to me speak to you. You know, digital advertising has really taken over the focus of many marketing professionals nowadays. And what's really interesting here is that not only are you being swept up by the digital advertisers nowadays, but there's a whole focus of the digital marketing world to keep people dependent on the gurus, because the gurus are perennially selling you tactics. Now, the problem with that is that you become dependent on tactics all the time, because what happens with the tactic is, generally as a rule of thumb, a tactic has a half-life. And when tactics have a half-life, you're never really going to be able to develop something which is evergreen, which always works, which you just need to tweak, you know, 20% to the left and 20% to the right all the time. And what this book was all about, it's not about tactics. Like, it was written in 1966, for goodness sakes. Like, this book, Breakthrough Advertising, is all about understanding what goes on between the two ears and the mouth of the human being, and the psychology and the mindset that a consumer is literally going through, and how do you wrestle with that and then turn it into compelling messages that sell? How do you turn it into compelling sales letters and advertorials and classified ads which get people to pick up the phone and be like, yo, I am interested? And that is what Breakthrough Advertising is all about. In terms of some like top three highlights here for me with Breakthrough Advertising is the concept of mass desire. And basically the concept of mass desire, I'm going to have a go at explaining it very badly, is that you can't create desire because humans have their own unique and personal desires. The only thing that you can do is tap into it. So when you understand like your ambitions and your goals and your dreams of your humans that you're trying to target with your SaaS product or your online brand or your e-commerce strategy, what you really need to have a real good understanding is, what do they really want? And then recognizing that your product doesn't create the desire, your copy doesn't create the desire, but it's your responsibility as a creative, whether you're developing a video sales letter or some, you know, some UGC, or if you're doing long form copy, that's more my style. The whole point here is that you need to get that right. And understanding on how to actually tap into that desire and then tap into it with your copy and your creatives, so people feel that, okay, by reading this, the fulfillment of my desire may happen, and by purchasing and taking the next step, that's going to happen too. So that's like the big idea. Again, it's worth the $200 that you have to spend to buy the book just to understand that concept, because I can honestly say that that's been responsible for 80% of the success that we've had within our own agency at Owen Denny Digital with our clients. And we're proud to say it, even with our own campaigns, it's absolutely crushed it when we properly leveraged. The next big idea from Breakthrough Advertising is the levels of market awareness. Now, I'm not going to do it enough justice here today, but the whole point is that in any given market which you enter, the buyer is either not aware at all of the problem that they have, or they're so aware of the problems and solutions on the market that they're literally just waiting for a discount. Now, there are 5 stages of market awareness which indicate the level of buyer sophistication or how clued on they are to you and what you offer. So I'm going to make it really easy for you today. So if you want to pin this on the back of like your vision board or understand, have it in the car with you, I think this is a really valuable acronym for everyone to remember. It's called UPSYD, UPSYD. Now, if you remember UPSYD, you're always going to remember your 5 stages of market awareness. Stage 1, unaware of the problem that they have. Now, a good example of people not being aware of a problem that they have is selling people like a novelty t-shirt. They've never needed a novelty t-shirt to fulfill any form of desire. And there's no real intrinsic problem that it solves. Like, yeah, you could argue that, yeah, it keeps someone protected from the sun, it keeps them from the elements,
it's socially acceptable to wear a t-shirt. It can make them feel, it can enable you to tell who you are. It's all about self-expression. Yeah, whatever. But like, if in terms of like burning problem, which is going to see someone walk all over hot coals to go about achieving and figuring out, there's no real compelling reason to go about buying one of these. So when you've got these, you know, products where there's no real immediate problem, or the prospect has no idea that he or she needs the problem, that's the first level of market awareness. The second level of market awareness is people who know they've got a problem, but they have no idea that there's a solution on the market. So you've got U for unaware of problem. P is problem aware. Now, this could be, you know, you wake up one morning and you've got a twinge in your back and you're like, oh, good God almighty, I've got back pain. I'm not sure what to do. Like, and then all of a sudden you start, you know, Googling on the internet. You start thinking about, hey, what do I... I've got back pain, lower back pain. How do I fix that? And then all of a sudden, you start landing on all these search engine optimized blogs around, you know, figuring out what you can do to alleviate your back pains, the exercise and all that sort of stuff. But you're problem aware, but you're not necessarily in the market for a solution yet, which then leads to the next level of market awareness or buyer awareness or buyer sophistication. And that is people who are solution aware. Now, for instance, just say you're a business owner, you're listening to this podcast, you know that you've got a problem, which is I can't get my business to grow fast enough. Now, if you're one of those many people, let's be frank, most of us are those people, you're probably thinking, oh, goodness gracious me, I've got a problem, I've got a leads problem, or I've got a conversion rate problem, and your solution may be, oh, I need to engage somebody to run my Facebook ad campaign, or my Google ads, or my YouTube ads, or my LinkedIn ads, or my Snapchat, or my TikTok, or my Taboola, or my Outbrain campaigns. You know, like, that is that typical, how do I say it? The person who knows that there are solutions on the market, and there are people who can serve that problem for the prospect. And that's kind of the third level, which is the solution aware. So let's just recap that quickly. You've got the people who are unaware of a problem, then you get the people who are problem aware, and now you've got those who are solution aware. The next level is why. So upside with why, which is your solution. So they're so aware of the products in the market, now they are aware of your solution. So for instance, just say a SaaS owner's like, oh goodness gracious me, I've got a lead problem. I need to look up a SaaS marketing agency that can help me bolster my growth and truly make T2, D3 growth a complete reality for me. So I need this to happen. Now they get onto Owen Denny's website, so they understand that we're a solution for them, or a company which can provide a solution for them to, you know, fix up their conversion rate optimization, plug the holes in their funnel, figure out exactly why, you know, people aren't showing up to their appointments and why people aren't jumping onto like proposal calls or whatever. And then we can go about tweaking the website, rewriting the copy, sending traffic to that landing page, writing compelling ads for those traffic campaigns. Now, like, what I'm getting you to think about here, guys, is that this person is solution aware, and they're also very aware of what you do and what you offer, which comes to the last level of market awareness or buyer awareness or market sophistication, whatever what you want to call it, is deal awareness. And what that means is they are just waiting with their elephant gun in the bushes to fire they're one round and purchase from you based on a deal or offer that comes to the ground. Oh, I've always wanted to work with Tony Robbins. You know, I've always wanted something from him, but it's always been too expensive. Oh, wow, he's just done a flash sale, 97% off all courses, 3 days only. I'm going to buy everything. Black Friday, boom. That's another example of that, you know, that D level or the deal and offer awareness. That's the very, very bottom of your marketing funnel. So that's kind of like number two for me. Number three in this, like, there's so much gold here, but really the importance, how it lays down on headlines. I think that headlines nowadays in a world which is so creative first, not copy first, that we fail to understand the importance of headline testing and how do we intensify headlines. If you want to know how to write compelling ads, study the living crap out of this book. And not only is it a course in copywriting and direct response advertising, it's also a course in understanding the psychology. So this is an absolute banger book. Get onto it. Make it happen. Let's get to book number two. Is Ready, Fire, Aim by Michael Masterson. Now, I'm not going to really go about like a three-point summary of this book, but the biggest thing with Michael Masterson is that he recognizes that every single business has its own unique set of problems when it goes from 0 to 1 million, 1 million to 10 million, 10 million to 50 million, and then 50 million to 100 million. So what Michael Masterson's done is provided you with a framework as to what you need to focus on when you're going from 0 to a million or a million to 10, etc., etc. Now, the cool part about this book is that it's really one of the first books I read before I jumped into books like Traction or any of the other SaaS-related growth books, is that he provides you with a framework as to what to focus on. If your business hasn't got from 0 to a million a year in annual recurring revenue, full transparency, we're in that boat too. The main focus and the main game should always just be marketing and sales. Get sales and marketing squared away so you can scale the thing up and then you can get to the next level. But then when you go from 1 million to 10 million, you start thinking about operations, and then as you go higher and higher up the size of organization and corporation, it then turns into a game of governance and boards and strategy and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if you want a complete guide to getting your direct response advertising and your sales to work and what you need to focus on at the particular stage of company that you are at, Ready, Fire, Aim by Michael Masterson is a masterpiece. It's super easy to read. Michael Masterson is one of the greatest direct response copywriters of all time. And, you know, he's just amazing. The way he explains everything, even like upsells and how to sell, like, you know, proposals, plan Bs, you know, brevity is the soul of velocity. Like, there's some real gold in this book. So check it out. I love it. I need to probably read it a few times more. Which leads me to book number three. And this is, again, if anyone knows me, everyone wants to have a talk or a chat with me about marketing. I am totally obsessed with Jack Trout and Al Rees. Like, I love these guys. These two are some of the greatest marketing strategists of our times. They came up with some brilliant books like the 22 Immutable Laws of Marketing. They also came up with Bottom-Up Marketing and Trout on Strategy. There's like a lot of amazing books that these guys have read, but no book is better, and I repeat, better than Positioning the Battle for Your Mind. And let me give you an example of what positioning is all about. See, with Positioning the Battle for Your Mind, you and your business occupies a position in someone's mind. But there are rules around what position you occupy. For instance, if I ask you, like, do this with me on the whilst you listen to this podcast, name a sports car manufacturer. What did you guess? You probably guessed Ferrari. If I ask you, name a luxury watch manufacturer, what are you going to guess? You're probably going to run down with Rolex. Like, you're not going to be talking about Tag Heuer or Longines or any of those smaller ancillary brands. Or if I ask you, name a soft drink, you're probably going to say Coke. And that's because of the fact that they've adopted and they've figured out a way to intersect what's actually going on inside of the customer. And they've been able to tap away at that over a long period of time. So it's kind of like, if you've got a word, for instance, just say you're a SaaS company, you want to own a word. Like, you, if someone says, hey, I want to own the category, or I want to own that word. For instance, just say you're a governance software that uses AI. Like, I want to be known as the AI governance software. Or just say you're a recruitment platform or a recruitment chatbot platform. You want to own recruitment chatbot. And basically, positioning gives you a whole heap of examples and options and solutions to go about making this happen for your business. As you can see, our positioning, we're trying to aim and be the tip of the spear when it comes to SaaS marketing in Australia. Like, Australia's number one SaaS marketing agency. That could be us, purely because of the fact that we're the only people focusing on it. You know what I mean? So just have a think about that. Because again, that's how positioning matters, and it makes it a lot easier in the mind of your customer to make a decision with you if your positioning is correct and it's congruent with what they're looking for. So again, check out Positioning by Jack Trout. Love this book. It's super easy to read. I think it's only about 210 pages, and it's super easy to read. So jump onto this. These guys are masters of brevity, something which I haven't quite mastered. But yeah, you will love it. Now, a book which got me in a bit of trouble, but I do love. There's a very strong place in my heart for this book, because I didn't quite implement it correctly. But, you know, going back and having a look at this book now, I look at it and think, oh, okay, cool. I know how to do it. And it's called Blue Ocean Strategy. And basically, the whole concept of a blue ocean business is a business which is simply uncontested in the market, and it makes the competition irrelevant. See, you know, a great example which they talk about in this book is Cirque du Soleil. Now, Cirque du Soleil, the French juggernaut that it is the quintessential night out. You know, there was two markets before it existed, though. You had the theater crowd, and then you had the circus crowd. See, when Cirque du Soleil came to the floor, the guy who founded it looked at it and said, hey, circuses are always very lowbrow, it's smelly, it's a bit gross, it's disgusting, you're under this big top, you feel like you're literally just entering a barn, and there's animals, and all these things I don't ethically agree with. But then when you go to the theater, your experience isn't the same. It's not that dynamic. You know, you're only on a single stage. It costs a lot of money. And you know, it's not truly like a fully immersive experience at the theater. And the guys who sat down and created Cirque du Soleil realized, hang on a second, there are people by the truckloads willing to spend $150, $250, $300 a ticket to go see these theater applications, because they consider themselves, you know, oh, I'm cultured, I go to the theater, I like going seeing an opera or the ballet or whatever, and they recognize that, hey, people are paying good money for this, but there's really nothing that we can replicate this, or we can create our own category. And then you have a look on the other side, they were like, well, we're circus performers, but we don't want to be tacky. We don't want to be lowbrow. We don't want to be this, that, and the third. How about we create something in the middle, which we are in our own category of one, so no one can compete with us? And that's how Cirque du Soleil became a thing. You know, it was immersive. It was intelligent. It was sophisticated. It was this incredible business, and it was this incredible offer and opportunity, because no one can simply compete. You know, you're like, you know, the pricing, it doesn't really matter. What can you compare it against? Like a trip to the F1? No, it's not even comparable. So, like, that's the whole concept of Blue Ocean Strategy. How do you develop products, services, and businesses which create their own market space? Now, there's a really amazing book called $100 Million Offers by Alex Hormozy. I'm surprised I didn't even include this on this list. But the reason why I haven't is because of the fact that I want to give you like a very large grounding today of like, if you have never read a marketing book, these are the first five you must read. Just get it done. But the whole concept here is, how do you do this based on the market information that you have? How can you create your own market? Now, please be warned, this is not a very easy thing to execute. But you know what? There are elements within Blue Ocean Strategy which you can pick and choose and implement within your own business. You know, being able to cater to new markets and expand markets, or being able to satisfy customers that have never been satisfied. That's what this is all about here. So give it a listen, give it a go, and see how it goes. It's a best-selling author, and your boy here, Dean Denny from Owen Denny Digital, ended up on their website for my previous startup, which I'll talk about in a later episode, which leads me to probably like my all-time favorite marketing book. And Oh, wow. This is probably something which not only applies to your business, but it also applies to your life. And it's Seth Godin's Purple Cow. Now, the whole concept of Purple Cow is to pretty much develop a business which is so remarkable that it stands out and that people are like, wow, they actually speak about it. Now, you know, every business owner aspires to have a remarkable business, but Seth Godin really clearly defines why you need to create a purple cow business. Let me give you an example of what he means by a purple cow. Just say you've packed the kids into the SUV and you're driving down the highway and you're driving into the countryside and you're starting to see life's a lot slower out there. You know, there are barns, there are, you know, dilapidated, you know, petrol stations, there are, you know, the odd, you know, random spot tuck shop, and you know, there's all these, it's just dusty, it's dirty and whatever, and then you start jumping along and you're driving along and you see like the rolling plains, and then all of a sudden you see a cow and you go, you know, you point out to your wife and kids or your husband and you're like, oh wow, look, a cow, a brown cow, how exciting. And everyone thinks it's like the coolest thing in the world, you've just seen a cow, right? And then all of a sudden you're driving along and you see like a white cow, and you're like, whoa, a white cow, we've seen a brown cow and a white cow. And then you see a black cow, and then you see a black cow with a white spot, and you're like, whoa, this is freaking amazing, I can't believe it. But then all of a sudden, you drive through a pasture, and there's cows freaking everywhere, and you're like, hang on a second, they're all just cows, nothing's that remarkable, I've seen 377 of these things today, like, what's the point? But then, if you're driving along, right, here's what could be really amazing here. You could see a purple cow. And how would you feel when you see a purple cow? You'd be like, holy smoke, this is incredible. I cannot believe I've seen a purple cow. Like, this is freaking amazing. And you're going to be talking to not only your friends and your family, but you can talk about everybody that you've spoken to and seen about this. And it's freaking cool. It's so amazing. So what I'm trying to talk to you about here is that you need to stand above the rest and create your own business, which is truly remarkable. Otherwise, you're going to be totally forgotten. So check it out. It's super easy. It's written in the kind of way of a fable to begin with, and then talks about being these whole case studies and all that sort of jazz. You need to build out a remarkable business, something which is worth speaking about, which cuts well above the rest of the market. And guys, look, that's it for today. I hope y'all are having an amazing day. These are 5 amazing books. Starting with Breakthrough Advertising by Eugene Schwartz, Ready, Fire, Aim by Michael Masterson, Positioning, The Battle for Your Mind by Al Rees and Jack Trout, Blue Ocean Strategy by Kim and Morborn, and then Seth Godin's Purple Cow. They're my top 5 marketing books. If you get something from this, please feel free to like, share, and subscribe to this channel. We really appreciate everything that you hard, devoted listeners do for this place. And if you have anything you want me to cover on a podcast, there's going to be some really interesting ones we're going to about to launch, please let me know and we'll make it happen for you. Because again, I'm devoted to making this a space where people can get their problem solved for free. So guys, do some good today. I love you all. Stay safe. And till next time.